Praise God. So good to see all of you out tonight. And I think I'm going to close this one out tonight. And so we're going to be looking at some things we've been over and what we've been talking about. How do you get rid of wavering faith? That's what we've been talking about. James says, I'm going to go back to our original text, to where we started this, and read it again. And faith come by what?
Hearing.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
Word of God.
Word of God. James says in James 1:5, we can go ahead. Hallelujah. It start off, text start off with asking a question or telling you something. If any man lacks wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means he doesn't hold back. Wisdom is available to all of us, so if you're going to be successful in your faith walk, you need some wisdom. So we're talking about faith tonight. How do you overcome that? You around people that saying everything. I said saying they're saying a lot of different things. How do you overcome that? And so, look at some things that Paul said and others said. But let me finish this one. Upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Keep going. But let him do what? See, faith. See. So how do we ask in faith? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like the waves of the sea, driven of the wind and toss. Okay? Look what the next statement says. For let not that man think. Don't even let him think. Don't start saying, don't let him believe he believes something. Don't even let him think. You just stopped him right at the very get-go. Don't even think. Don't even let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's word is absolute, absolute, absolute. And so he said, don't let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Keep going. A double-minded man is what? Unstable. How many ways? Anytime you're double-minded, you are unstable. God don't answer unstable people. Your mind, your heart, really your heart, have to be fixed, established. God said it. Let's sell it. Eliminate all the other stuff. Sometimes that's not easy to do, but you got to do it if you're going to walk in faith. Eliminate feeling, opinion, religion, tradition, all this other stuff. God said it. There's no other truth beside this one. God said it. Now, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right? See, we're talking about how do we overcome this? Well, we got to find out. We got to settle some things to get rid of some issues. We can't be held between two opinions. We got to settle what's true and what's not. God has made himself clear. Give me Numbers 23:19. Give me Numbers 23:19. We're just kind of reviewing some things. Look what the word says about God. God is what? Okay, so you can't put him in our class. We have to come up to his class. God is not a man, because you know, you've been around the men, haven't you? Mankind, and you know they're alive, won't you? You know that. And then when they start saying, I promise you better look out. So God is not a man that he should lie. Neither who? The Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said? All right, let's look at something. Has he said? What did God say? What did God say? Did God say in the beginning he was going to create the heaven and earth? And then God said something. What did God say? Let there be light. They said the original Hebrew said, he said, light be. Do you see any light around here? Did you go through the day in the dark? Or did you see the sunshine? And you can go to the first chapter of Genesis. You can find all of this I'm talking about and more. Light shine, sunshine, stars came out, the moon shine. I mean, you find it all. So he had proven himself to be true. But here come this liar. And that's what he did to the clever dude. You won't surely die. Well, did they die? They died just like he said. Come on. So how do we, this is how we get rid of and overcome wavering faith. We take God at his word, and we don't allow anything else. Somebody might say, well, a possibility. No. God has said it. That's it. This is how we establish our faith and become stronger. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Because people waver back and forth in their thoughts, in their heart. Well, I don't feel healed. I prayed in God. I asked God for some money. I don't see it. He asked you to see it. He told you to believe it. And that should be your conversation from then on. Oh, my needs are met. My bills are paid. And sure, it's tough on you when you first start out, because you never been that way before. You understand? You never operated in the faith. You've been over in unbelief and feeling and religion and tradition. I remember so well, and still I have to say, I remember so well, I decided that I was going to live by Herod Kenneth Copeland, and I think I got a hold to some of Brother Hagin material at that time, but I know I heard Kenneth Copeland, and we was, our trailer house had burned, and my car payment had come up, and I didn't have the money. Ooh, boy, I was trying to stop. And I was doing my best to stay. And I did good. I stood it. But boy, it was tough. And listen, I didn't have a clue where that money would come from. I didn't have a clue. You understand? And that's what hard on the mind, because the mind want to figure out stuff. Anybody in the house? And somebody called me out of the blue. I say out of the blue, but it was God who was working behind the scene. And I had to trust him. And somebody called me and said, you want to sell your gas tank? Because, see, my trailer house had burned, and I couldn't use it. Boy, that was my money. That gave me a boost. Ooh. I remember another time in Oklahoma. And shoot, y'all, I did some. When you believe in God and get started, you do some strange things to your mind. Boy, we would go to work and get to the job. And either the house wasn't ready or something else would come up. And I need to work like, 2 weeks ago. and get paid for it. I came to the house and that devil, here you go, what you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? What you gonna do now? I grabbed my Bible. I didn't know any better. I just did. I put my Bible in the floor and I got up on top of it. I said, I'm standing on the word, devil. If he couldn't understand that. And so if you're gonna double talk or be double-minded about the things of God, you're not going anywhere. You're always walking around looking for somebody to hand you something. I don't depend on other people. God is my source. He can use whoever he wants to in here or beyond. He's not limited to you. He's not limited to me. Y'all hear me? Maybe somebody I don't even know. But when you stand on the word, when you stand there, and this, like I said, it's not easy at first. But when you go through a few times, it get better because your faith's growing. That's what I'm getting. But God will help you out when you're a baby in this. He'll help you out. I remember I hurt my back. Ooh, and Lord have mercy. It wasn't quite as bad as what I had this last year. But it will hurt. And when you pull them, I pull a muscle. And it pinched my nerve in my back. I went in there, we had an empty room with nobody in it. And as a matter of fact, there wasn't no furniture in it either. But anyway, I went in that room and I got down on the floor. And I twist this way, I turn that way. If I try to kneel, boy, that put pressure on you. You know, you try to kneel and that nerve. So finally I said, Lord, I didn't know any better, but this is what I said. I was trying to make a deal with God. I need some help. I said, now, Lord, if I were you and you were me, and you didn't know quite what to do, I'll help you out. And He did. I finally drifted off to sleep because when a nerve is pinched in your back and it's, I finally drifted off to sleep and I got up out of the floor and went in and got in the bed. I think all my wife is in bed and the children all in there on their pallets and wherever they were. I went to sleep. I went sound asleep. I woke up the next morning, I wasn't hurting. It was gone. I was a little bit sore. I was just a little bit sore, but it was gone. I got up the next day and went to work. Amen. That don't happen without a miracle. So how did you get rid of wavering faith? You have to just make a decision, because everything is screaming at you when you, here's Corin, myself and the children. Out there in the city, we don't know anybody. You understand? You don't know anybody you can go call on. Will you give me a cup of flour? We ain't know nobody asked me for no cup of flour. So how do you get rid of wavering faith? I just heard this word. I hadn't been in it long enough. I just had heard about it. And I thought, I didn't have no, some helping you. You can learn from my mistake or what I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought, see, when I heard this, I thought you hear it one time, you just do it. But I didn't know you had to go back in the room and practice. So let's go to Mark Gospel chapter 5, verse 25, verse 25. It's 25, yeah. Let me go to 25. I may be able to get it before I get there. Mark Gospel. There's a certain woman which has the issue of blood. 12 years. That's a long time to bleed. And has suffered many things of many physicians. And had spent all that she had, and nothing better, but rather grew worse. That's about as bad as not knowing anybody. The 27th verse said, when she heard of Jesus, faith come how? How did faith come? And when she heard of Jesus, because Jesus is the word, don't you know that? You do know that, don't you? And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. Behind. Notice she came in the press behind. That means she came behind. He didn't know she was up behind him. And touched his garment. For she said, give me an amplified version on that verse so we can see it. Amplified classic. 5:28. For she did what? What did she do? She kept saying. She kept saying. See, I know you have to keep saying. Because it was in my head when I first started. But finally, somehow I got it in my heart. Hallelujah. And this is how she got this in her heart. She kept saying. She kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. She didn't say, I hope I will. That's what most people mess up. I hope I will. See, that hope right there is out of place. You don't hope right there. You state the truth that's in your heart. Fully convinced that if I say it, if I do it, I got it. I shall be restored to health. All right, you can go back to the King James. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the And what happened? She felt in her body that she was healed. You notice that feeling came later. But she said it and acted on it first. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that what? Distressing ailment. Okay. Let's go back to the King James. Let's go back to King James. Verse 30. We can flow with that. Jesus, what? Immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now he knew somebody had put a demand on his ability to heal him because virtue went out of him, power went out of him. Who touched my clothes? No, to keep going. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude what? Thorning thee. That means they were pressing on him. And sayest thou, who touched me? Okay. And he looked round about, see? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Keep going. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Keep going. And he said unto her, what did he say to her? Y'all read it. Daughter, what happened? What did it? Now am I knowing it? Her faith is what activated the healing power. How did she get rid of that wavering faith? She kept saying. Her blood flow was still there. The crowd was in the way. She wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. But she pressed her way through. And evidently she to touch the hem, that's if I understand, that's the bottom of the gum. She had to get down on her knee. You can't touch somebody's hem standing up. Come on, y'all. Huh? And when she touched him, because she touched him with the touch of faith, she expected to happen. Let me tell you, some of you may have heard the tape, you can write your own ticket with God, Brother Hagin, sermon. Some of you may have heard that, but he told us he was praying. And Jesus appeared to him and told him, And this is what Jesus told him. I get all the other stuff together, but I get this right. Jesus told him, while he was praying, he had been preaching on this woman, the issue of blood. He had been preaching on. He said, the Lord said, I'm gonna give you another sermon. He said, get you a pencil and pad. Get you a pencil and paper, piece of paper. Write down 1, 2, 3, 4. And we'll give you 4 points. And he said, write down the first one. She said. He said, number 2, she did it. Number 3, she received it. Number 4, she told it. Then he said to Brother Hagin, Jesus, he was looking at Jesus in the vision. He said, he said to him, anybody, anywhere, anytime will act on these 4 points will get what they want from me every time. So what are we saying? What we have done, we have allowed opinion, what I think, what if, maybe. We got to get past all of that feeling. Feeling got it placed. Don't deny feeling, but just don't let it get in the way where it try to operate where it doesn't belong. When God's and when we understand faith in God is taking God at His word and nothing else. I thank God for medicine. I thank God because, boy, I've probably been in trouble, but thank God for medicine to help. But you got to get to that place where you can walk, and that's why I'm headed. I'm determined in Jesus' name to walk in these places in these last days, in this place of faith by, in the last day, because God cannot lie. He can't lie. Now listen to this. I'm going to get a little strong with you tonight. God can't lie. And the reason why he can't lie, how can he lie about something that's already done? I'm going to try this side over here. How can God lie about something already done? You already healed. You already rich. You already wise. You already strong. You already intelligent. You that way. He said, well, why don't I have it? Because you hadn't accepted.
Amen.
It's already yours. It's already yours. What we have to learn, what to do, how to receive it, how to take it, how to make it mine. And that means we have to eliminate stuff that we heard, what we feel, what we were brought up in, and all this kind of stuff. And sometimes your mind says, and when you start listening to your mind, your flesh, it gets you in trouble. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with you, with that. I'm present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh, okay? For though we do what? Walk in the flesh. Notice, I'm walking in the flesh, you're walking in the flesh. That's what Paul is saying. I want you to hear this. For though we do what? We walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that's where the problem is being. And Ephesians 6 and 12 said, for the weapons of our, I'm all over the in Isaiah. for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and power, ruler of darkness, this world, and spiritual what? Wickedness in high places. And see, when we know where the fight's at, know what's up against us. And see, we need to see. This need to be clear. Though I'm walking in the flesh, but what I got to deal with is not natural. But when I try to deal with this with my natural strength, I'm whipped already. I'm already whipped. But when I understand that I'm walking in the flesh, but I'm not a natural man. You're not a natural woman. You're not a natural man. You are spiritual. And you need to exercise your spiritual authority.
Amen.
So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Come on, give it to me. Verse 4. For the what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You don't get guns and knives. You don't get rockets and stuff like that. Those are natural weapons. They can be massive destructive weapons, but they are no comparison between spiritual weapons. No comparison. Hallelujah. For though the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. To do what? To pulling down of strongholds, something that's set up in your mind for years and decades. But this weapon that God has given you is strong to pull it down and put it in its place.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are y'all listening tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Keep going. Casting down what? Imagination, notice it, plural. Every high thing that what? Exalted itself against what? See, that's where you can come out of that. You get the knowledge of God on this. Once you get the knowledge of God, you already healed. God have already done it for you. You already wealthy. You already healthy. You already intelligent. You already spiritual. You're already anointed. The power of God is already on you. I don't care if you don't feel a thing. I'm already anointed.
Hallelujah.
And so when it comes to you and trying to threaten you, that's when you throw it down. Say, no, you nothing, you shut up. You say, I tried that one time, it didn't work. That's why that's your problem. You don't try this, you do it. Like I said, when you start walking in this, it's not ease on the flesh at first. And he will bring, listen to me, he will bring against you sometimes some severe attacks trying to make you back off. Ooh, did he ever try to do that to me? You haven't preached faith around here all these years. Look at you now. I want you to look at me now. I'm telling you, God's word works. And when there's a failure, don't you look at God. Don't you even look over that direction. Hallelujah. You start saying, Lord, where did I miss it? Where did I come up short? God does not have any failure. He's perfect in all of his ways. Perfect. Hallelujah. That's why he tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And this is why, and I understand now, Brother Hagin made a statement in his book, and I've never forgotten that in his teaching and in his book. He said, you cannot exercise faith where the will of God is not known. If you have no knowledge of the word, you can't exercise any faith in that area. Now look at it now. Look what it said. He said, casting down what imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you don't know what God said about you, you can't exercise no faith. Because faith, God's word is filled with his faith. And if you know what God said about you, you can tell the devil, you better shut up. Because you know what you got. Oh, Jesus. You know what you got. You don't think you know. You know what you got. Now, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Come on, preacher.
Yeah. Here's a man that hadn't walked. He was above 40 years old.
Yep.
Peter knew what he had.
Yes, sir.
But he didn't know when he was talking his big talk before Jesus went to the cross. Lord, if everybody leave you, I'll never leave you. And he was the first dude that took off. But after that, Peter saw that man at the beautiful gate. He said, and the man asked him for some money. He said, look, silver and gold is not what you're looking for. Silver and gold have I none.
Yes, sir.
But what I do have, what I do have. How could Peter be so bold? Because he knew what he had. Do you know what you have?
Yes,
do we know what we got here?
Yes,
are we going to act like the rest of the people? Or are we going to act like Jesus? Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you know what you have, when you know what you got, and you say it, and you know how to release it. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yes.
Stuck his hand out. Because that man didn't have no choice but to get up. And the man made an effort, leaped to his feet.
Yes, sir.
And started leaping.
Yes, sir.
And praising God and people looking. If that lame, yeah, that's that lame man. And you know what, brothers and sisters? God don't want us just talking about this. It's time for us to do some of this.
Amen.
Are you just tired of coming to church same old, same old? God is ready for somebody to get up and walk. Somebody that never spoke a word before in their life. Take that, you dumb devil. Get your hands off of their voice. Casting down strongholds. What? And every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I know God didn't create that person to be dumb. He created that person to speak, to have a voice, to communicate like you, like us.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And we said, well, he'll go searching for something. That mama didn't talk too well. And daddy, he would be. No, it's a dumb devil. And we have allowed them to run things. We should have been putting them in the road. We shouldn't have called. We shouldn't have did the the pledge to call him Jack. We should have called him something else. Hit the road, you slew foot you. And don't you come back no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. I'm going to see. Somehow I'm going to get this wound up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give to me 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Give it in the King James. But listen to this. We are bound to thank God always for you. We are what? Bound, that means we're committed, and we're not gonna back off of this. I made a commitment. I'm bound to it. I'm gonna do this. I thank God always for you. When you find some people like this, and listen to what he said, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is what? Meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. When I find peoples that want to do something for God, that we're going to believe God for the impossible. And this is what's happening around here. You're about to see the invincible. Hallelujah. You're about to see the lame walks more than ever before. When you find, now watch what happened. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is in me, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. How do you get your faith growing exceedingly? And that charity of every one of you all towards what? Each other does what? That's why the faith was growing, so they walked in love. I don't like that charity word, but we'll suffer tonight. And the love of every one of you all towards each other are boundless. You ain't talking about each other. You ain't got a little whistle behind the back. What you see when I'm standing in your faith and shaking your hand, that's what you get behind your back. No, I don't think she ain't looking right tonight. I wonder why she wear that. Child, she just thinks she too much anyway. Or he think he's something. Did you see where Pastor tried to stand up with his hand on his hip? Who he think he is? Like he's somebody important. They didn't have none of that stuff. I said, they didn't have any of that stuff. That's why their faith was growing. They believed God. They walked in love. Hallelujah. And therefore, they got results. And Paul said, I'm bound to do it. I can't help but do it. when I found a people like this, I thank God for people. Because you ain't going to find a lot of people that can walk in love. They got to have something to say behind your back. And some of them bold enough to try to say something to your face. But thanks be to God. Give me a second. I think this is where 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now what? Thanks be unto God. Do what? Now. Thanks be unto God. What God? What about God? Which always. How often? Always does what? Causes us to do what? Triumph. Where? How? Now you can see why that you find so much strife and stuff in religion and tradition and stuff. Because in Christ you always are triumph. And make it manifest his Savior, the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. And that's what I come to do, to make known to you his Savior knowledge in this place tonight. We're gonna ramshack Houston. We're gonna shake up some stuff in Houston and Oklahoma won't be able to recover from it. And Tupelo gonna say, what happened? What did this come from? And by the time they get, what did this come from? Boom, here come another dose. Hallelujah. And they thinking this is something. You wait till God get through. He's just looking for somebody to work through. We are working together with him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. So, I knew, Lord, thank you. I will do what you say. Look at this. Look who we're dealing with. I won't get to where I need to go. Give me Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 26. We're talking about how to overcome, how to get into that place where you got a faith that won't waver. Abraham got there. I didn't even get a chance. I wanted to visit that for a few minutes, but my time limited me. Look what Jesus said about God. But Jesus beheld them. He said unto them, with men, this is what? Impossible. But with God, I'm gonna read that again. I know y'all read it, but y'all didn't hear what he said. He said, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, but with men, this is impossible. But with God, how many? I'm gonna ask you again. How many? What are we doing putting limit on God? And God, Jesus told us, you can have what you say. Are y'all listening to me too?
Yes, sir.
Why are we putting limit on? Well, you know, it's time for some breakout up in here. I'm telling you, we're about to ramshack this earth. The power of God is going through the earth like a storm. And these wicked jokers that think they're so mighty and high, they're gonna be ripped to threads. Say, is that, what is that? That's supposed to be something? And we're going to stand there with the baton in our hand. And we're going to stand there on the victory line. God is God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And they're going to look, and that's the folks we call nobodies? And that's the folks we call nuts? I'm telling you, God and his church, the Lord gonna have the last say. I know the devil looked like he got most of the money and most of the crowd, but God gonna have the last say. Oh yes he is, yes he is. I don't care how high and mighty you think. They may, whoever they think they are, I'm just glad I'm on the Lord's side. I'm glad, I'm so grateful, and I'm trying to get everybody I can to come over here in the family with me, because this is the family to be. This is the family to be in. This is the family of the redeemed. This is the family that was last forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, if you thought that's something, I'm going to close with this one. Because, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23. Mark 9:23. There we go. Jesus said unto him. Who said?
Jesus
said unto him, if thou canst believe. What? Read that again. How many? You see why I'm working on that wavering faith? Because then, and if we can believe it, it's possible. To him that believeth. You, me, us. They thought this was something. You ain't seen God move yet. He just getting up, getting a little hut for us to get under so he can get out the rain so he can do it. Wait till he shake this town. He probably going to shake us a little bit first. We sleep, we betting on live stream and he going to blow that out the water. You're gonna see a lot of them sitting at the house right now, and you may be listening to. You're gonna be selling your little stuff right on down here, and then you're gonna have a problem finding a seat. Hey, then nothing. Don't you talk that way? You better know what you're saying. You don't know my God. God can shake you up so you'll stay here all night long. Talking about what you ain't gonna do. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, what all things are possible to him that believeth. Thank you, Jesus. Do I have any believers in this house? I said, do I have any believers in this house? All things are possible to him, to her, to us.